where we're moving on now.
Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, this is Money Talks.
Oh, I love the Jefferson.
So do I. They're both dead. Easy and him.
Really?
George?
Yeah. I didn't know
dead.
That. Yeah.
That's kind of depressing.
Do you know who her son is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know. Who?
Lenny Kravitz.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, this is Money Talks. I'm Dollar Bill Lako.
I'm impressed, Troy.
How about that?
It's Cowboy Troy.
I even watch TV sometimes.
And Dr. Gene. All right, so we got a bunch of email questions. Yep. Did y'all not answer these questions while I was on vacation?
We answered a bunch of questions while you were on vacation.
We were down in Florida getting burnt.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I knew you guys were comfortable up here.
Yeah.
Bill and I were down basking in the pool. I wasn't basking in the pool.
Well, we're going to take these questions, and then on segment four, you asked me what happened on the trip to Florida.
Well, I hope you guys have recovered.
Because instead of Suzanne's golf clubs, I got Danielle's. I'm not even lying.
Yeah, I ain't shooting clubs. You know why.
All right. Becca Castro from Hinesville asked the question, where do you stand on corporate bonds? Says, my advisor has suggested several for me. Would I be better in a corporate bond ETF? I was also told that ETFs are better options if you want to get exposure to a riskier asset class. So I was looking at iShares, iBox, investment grade, corporate bond ETF. In the end, obviously, we manage money in a different manner. So what we like is known cash flows. We want to know how much you're getting. We try to match those cash flows to the needs, the spending needs of a client. So it's not that we're trying to get out there and get exposure to a more stable, less volatile asset class. If that's what you're wanting to do, obviously, you can do that with that iShares, iBox, investment grade corporate bond.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for, just because in general purposes, it's not part of a plan, but you want some fixed incomes in your portfolio, you have no particular liquidity needs, et cetera.
Right.
Then a ETF or a mutual fund that invests in bonds, is fine.
Right.
And in fact is the riskier the investment, the more you want to make sure you're in a mutual fund.
Right.
Because history has shown that you'll earn more money in a corporate bond than you will in a treasury.
Right.
But the problem is that you take up significant more volatility and you take on more risk in terms of bankruptcy and failure.
Right.
And you have to diversify against it. So that's a good way. But we don't buy these things for our clients because we generally follow what rule?
10-year rule.
And that is that we're only going to buy bonds for money that you need for the next 10 years.
Right.
And consequently, a bond fund or an ETF doesn't match the maturity when you need it.
Right. Yeah. The cash flow is unknown. The price is going to fluctuate with market movement, the market interest rate movement. And the bad thing is, when you're talking about that, when you have a bond or a bond fund that has a duration that's really high, in this case, that LQD, which is the symbol for the iBox, iShares investment grade bonds, right now it's at 7.4 years. That means that if interest rates go up 1%,
it's really going to go down
7%.
7%.
You know, and
so
if it
keep
goes,
that in mind.
Right, exactly. So even if you're doing this, we would recommend a shorter duration. Stay inside 5 years at least on your maturities, which would mean a duration probably 3 to 4.
They can go on a website, and that will show that what the duration is.
Yeah,
what would it be?
iShares, they have it for every one of their bond funds. So you can check that out, and it's a free website.
iShares.com.
iShares.com.
Yeah.
Then you can check in the duration. Keep it 3 or 4 years. Don't go out past that.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Keep them short.
All right. Uh-oh. This is from Mickey and Dana in Macon. Our son is getting divorced this year. His wife is leaving after 7 years.
Oh, gosh.
We're devastated.
Why are you laughing?
We're devastated for him. We want to give him some advice, but have no experience in this. What would be the biggest mistake someone making concerning investments and divorce, and how can our son avoid this mistake? It's too late.
Well, it's going to hurt. So I did an interview today with divorcedads.com.
Oh, wow.
So they specialize in... They
divorce
particularly
dads.
Yes, they do. just you know, this particular cordle tends to focus on the men half of the divorce.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm not a big fan of divorce.
Right.
So, but the biggest mistake that I generally will see, and we've done unfortunately quite a few of these, is you allow the emotions to get involved. You won't generally make a financial mistake if you will keep your head cool. But if you could keep your head cool, you wouldn't be getting divorced anyway.
Well, that's not necessarily true because it may not be your problem.
Well, this is true. But what tends to happen is, honestly, it's the emotional side of it, and refusing to actually pay for professional advice, because it's at times like this when you know you're going to be emotionally, I don't want to say unstable as if you're going to take a hostage, but you're just not necessarily thinking with the right thought process.
Right.
So you'll make emotional decisions, i.e. splitting of assets does not normally mean
taking everything and cutting it in half.
Right. Because, I mean, think about it. If you had a $150,000 house and a $150,000 401k plan, and you keep the house and I keep the 401k plan, is that the same? And the answer is no, because the house requires upkeep. The house requires maintenance. The house, you know, so you've got to think through those things. And I'm not, and the reason why attorneys tend to want to bring in outside advisors is because they're busy fighting the legal aspects of the divorce. It's not that they're not financial experts.
Charlie Holloway.
Yeah, he's our certified divorce financial analyst.
I mean, it's really stupid, I thought. But we have somebody who has a...
Initially, you thought it was, but until you see how...
A professional designation, as he's a financial expert in handling divorce cases.
Right.
Yeah.
And at least he'll keep you on the cool side, you know, intellectually.
Right. Right. So, you know, obviously divorce is never a good thing, but it does happen. So, anyway.
Got some more here. Jeff from Dallas says L3 Communications had a big day on Wednesday. What do you think of the company? They did have a big day. They were up 10% on Wednesday. It's all related to fourth quarter earnings.
What did they do, Troy?
Level 3 Communications is a telecom company. So they've had
a bad year all around.
This one hasn't, obviously. Yeah. The thing is with this particular company, they've been around a long time. You know, you can track them back as far as to 2003. Up until two quarters ago, every quarter since 2003 has been negative earnings. So what happened is they came out, they beat expectations for earnings in fourth quarter. A lot of it is related to a new CEO who is cutting costs. Plus, he's been able to pump up revenue a little bit. So in the end, I think this is a short-term story. It's not going to be,
What kind of PE?
Long-term growth.
What does Level 3 do? You probably just said that.
Yeah, it's a communications. Sorry, it's a lot of voice over IP stuff and that sort of thing. So, in the end, the problem is they don't have a PE.
My point.
Because two of the last four earnings quarters.
If you think Amazon at 563 times is overpriced, this one at infinity.
That's right. Yeah, you have to measure it with a price to sales. And even at that, if you look at the price to sales, which is always going to be positive, the company has sales, it's currently at 1.3. Their price is 1.3 times their sales. It's normally at 0.68. It's almost double. It's five-year average. All things considered, it's in a slow growth sector of business. I would avoid it.
All right. I got a question down here from Gordon from Atlanta. I've listened to you for years. I'm interested in both your financial and personal opinions. Well, they're both the same. Should I buy travel insurance? What do you think, Bill?
I think it depends. When we went to Italy.
Let's not talk about your undergarments, okay?
Oh, funny man! Funny man! He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
When we went to Italy and risked all that money, we did spend $100 for travel insurance. Generally, travel insurance will cover you for unexpected things like a broken leg and you can't travel.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to cover you for your broken leg, but it'll give you your money back, because a lot of times most people will buy non-refundable airplane tickets, and generally those hotel rooms are not refundable if you don't cancel within a certain amount of days. So if you're going to outlay a lot of money for a trip, like an Italy trip.
And it's significantly in the future, too, is another reason, too.
Right.
Because, I mean, for example, we're going to Paris in September.
Right.
And we bought our tickets, we bought all that sort of stuff, and got all these rooms. A lot of things can happen between now
and September. Well, it can, except for what we did this time was we bought refundable airplane tickets, and the rooms actually cancelable up until like a week before. So didn't really see the need at this point for that. But I do think it's something worthwhile, and a lot of times they're just trying to hawk you $70 and want something for $70 that won't actually pay off. It's a little scary when you read the fine print what they will and will not pay for.
Well,
we had to hunt for this policy.
Let me tell you something. There's just an article today in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the airline's cavalier approach to your reservations. If you change your reservations on a flight, they charge you all these charges and everything else. They can arbitrarily, without any question whatsoever, let's say you booked a flight 6 months out, okay? You've got your rooms, you got everything else and stuff like that. You can get a thing from them 2 weeks before the flight, say, that flight's been canceled, and we've booked you on a flight that leaves at 3 days later.
I don't know if it's that bad.
Is it
that bad?
Read the article.
Wow.
It's not that bad, but you lose a day or sometimes 3 days.
Yeah, no, you do. Yeah.
All sorts of stuff like that. And then you say, well, I don't want that, and I'll go get it on another airline, and all of a sudden you're paying what?
Yeah.
Give me my money back.
Right.
And I say, okay, now all of a sudden the flight you booked 6 months early because the flight was cheap, now is what? You got to pay, I'm going to fly next week. So something to think about on that. That kind of stuff. You lose a day.
I don't know if
vacation.
Trip insurance would cover that, though.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I'm just pointing out the things
that
can happen.
Yep. No,
right.
I totally agree.
All right. We probably overdid that one, but I wanted to get that one in because I knew you knew something about it, Bill, and I didn't want you to be on the outside looking in this whole show.
Lydia from Augusta says, Trinity Industries was a recent addition to my portfolio. What can you tell me about the stock? Is it one I should consider a long-term holding? The first thought that comes to mind is you bought it and now you're asking questions about it. That's probably got the horse.
Generally, you do that.
Cart before the horse a little bit on that one.
I don't feel bad, but any of our clients do the same thing.
Yeah, it happens. Right. Yeah. I heard this.
How many of you own Twitter?
Exactly.
How many of you own Twitter?
Yeah, that hurt. 20 some percent
today.
Thursday.
Yeah.
That got you a nice bite. Anyway, it's a mid-cap company. They manufacture transportation, construction, and industrial products, mainly rail cars and inland barges. Now,
that's a hot area.
It is. It is. But the thing of it is, their earnings growth is expected at about 10%. Their historical earnings growth, 5 years, about 4.4.
Yeah,
so
right.
The thing that I look at when I see this is you could buy the railroads and get 12.5% earnings growth. And we all know earnings growth drives the price of the stock.
That's right. There you go.
So, you know, in the end, I think I would
pass on this.
Yeah, not a long-term holding. Exactly, yeah.
I would sell this and buy, give me a railroad.
Yeah, we actually own several. We got CSX, NSC, Norfolk Southern, and we also have C.H. Robinson in one of our small cap
portfolios. Which is a transportation company trucks.
Exactly, yeah.
There you go.
So that's
better
what I would prefer to do. Exactly.
Very good, Troy. That's a keen analysis is what we want here.
Did we get some?
Yeah, sure did.
Okay.
I was
going to
say, what did I miss?
All right, we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.